Amen. I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited to get to know Pastor Terry this trip. Hallelujah. Amen. It just seems like it goes so quickly. It's hard for me to believe the end of the year is here. We're starting to get there. Amen. I want to quickly say a few things. I know you've already had some commercials, but I'm going to say a few things, and I'm going to just jump right in the Word and not do a whole lot of introduction. But I've written three books, and I hate to even talk about this kind of stuff, but if you don't tell people what you got, they never know. But I wrote this book called God's Beauty and the Beast in 1993. The foreword on this was written by Benny Hinn's brother, Willie Hinn, and it's basically about Adam and Christ. There's two men of the earth. The first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man was the Lord from heaven. I deal with a little controversial thing and some of that. I talk about some places in Matthew where it says, in that night there will be two men in one bed. And I start thinking, what if it's not a man and his wife? What if it's the two natures we've had? And so that's a pretty powerful little book there. I wrote this one in 07. This is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. I went to the book of Revelation with this assumption. This book might be about Jesus Christ. And what clued me in was the title, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And amazingly enough to me, we preach everything but Jesus. We get in the book of Revelation, we get bugs as big as Volkswagens, Godzilla's monsters coming up out of the ocean, Obama, Osama, Chelsea's mama. We get all kind of stuff out of Revelation. But I went to this book assuming it was the conclusion, the summary of redemption. And when I wrote this book, I had no idea the hands that this book would get in. I signed this book to President Bush, had dinner with him, got invited to a presidential dinner by his request. I signed one to President Bush. He's read this book twice. If a president will read it, you might want to read it. He said to me, or the congressman, one of the congressmen, I signed it to John McCain, Sarah Palin, Karl Rove, and Congressman Zach Womp. And Congressman Womp told me, he said, Washington's out of answers, but this book gives us an alternative. I believe you'd be blessed by this book. This book also is a book that connected me. Joseph Prince and I became great friends. He got this book in South Africa, and we've been great friends ever since. I wrote this one last year. This one I didn't have with me when I came before. It's called The Unforced Rhythms of Grace. And this is a powerful book. This one is probably grabbing the largest audience of any book I've ever written because it really starts to really emphasize that we've not come to a place. You know, the Message Bible says this in Matthew 11. It says, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you burned out on religion? And he goes on to say, come to me and I'll show you how to take a real rest. I will teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. And how many know that's really what makes it all work? Is it's not about pressure. It's not about force. It's about the unforced rhythms of grace. Those books are back there. I want to give them away to somebody that wants some. Who would like to have unforced rhythms? Anybody in the place? I'm going to give this one to the pastor's wife. She raised her hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who would like to have the revelation one? I'm going to give it to this one. Let me give somebody back here. Hallelujah. Let me just give it back here. Hallelujah. This one here is a real easy book to read. Praise God. Now, we only have a limited amount of them because of the weight of the airplanes. I think there's only 10 of the Revelation, 10 of the Beauty and the Beast, and 25 of Unforced. We also have some jump drives back there that have a whole lot of MP3 messages. There's a whole bunch of series on them. I'll talk about that more as we go. I want to get in the Word this morning. Hallelujah. It is hard for me to believe it's November. It's like almost batting your eye and a year rolls by. My mama said to me the other day, she said, have you noticed there's not very many old people around anymore? And I said to her, Mom, when there's nobody above you, you are the old people. I just became a senior citizen myself. October the 28th, I turned 55. I am a card-carrying AARP. Got a discount this morning at IHOP. Hallelujah. This has been an incredible year for us. The Lord has given us tremendous favor. We've been all over the world, but just in the last few weeks, Inspiration Television. We already host a national television program. If you don't know, we're on Dish Network Channel 267 and DirecTV Channel 376 twice a week. We come on in this time zone at 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday mornings and Saturday night at 9 p.m. in this time zone. Inspiration Network just approached us and said, we love your perspective and the way you present the gospel. We're doing a salvation block, and we like your perspective and how you approach it. Would you shoot some programming for our international network? And if you'll do it and we like it, we will run it for free. They are now running our program all over the world, in every country, every continent, almost 1 billion people. Last week heard my voice for the first time, and absolutely free, no charge to me. That's huge. That is absolutely huge. Hallelujah. I want to open my Bible, though. I was, we were in the studio a couple days ago filming, and they usually ask us to do something for the Christmas season. But to me, as I started to look at this text, I'm going to turn to Luke 2. If you open your Bible there this morning, this is where we're going to start. We'll see where all we go. How much we can say this morning. I trust you will come back into these meetings because I do believe the Lord has put some things on my heart prophetically to say. But as I was actually in Canada just a few days ago preaching, and the Lord began to stir my heart with these particular texts. Luke 2, if you'll open there, is the Christmas story. I know this is a little early for Christmas, but how many know when God is in the story, it's more than just a seasonal story. There's so many things that I think you can see in the Word of God that's powerful. But I started to really look at these things because I was in Canada, and the Lord was just stirring my heart about the season that we are in. And actually, the Lord stirred my heart before the election, and I don't want to be political at all, but I do want to talk about the season we're in. If you open, let me just read a few verses, and then I'm going to rear back and preach a little bit. Verse number 1, chapter 2, book of St. Luke. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I can't hardly read this verse of scripture and not think about my dad. I was telling Pastor this morning, my dad was killed in a tragic accident in February of this year. He was 81 years old. But on Christmas, he always reads the Christmas story. There's 50-some of us that would go to his home and read, the Christmas story. And that was one of our traditions, is he would read the Christmas story. But every time my dad was a country boy, with not a lot of education, but he was the real deal. He was the absolute genuine article. But he always read this: there went out a decree for Caesar in August. So the joke among our family is, I wonder if Caesar gonna get his degree this year in August. I probably shouldn't tell this on Sunday morning, but he sometimes butchered the English language. I remember one night he was preaching, he pulled the text out where it was a list of stuff that's not becoming to saints, and he always said it like this. He'd read it, he'd always kind of mess the words up a little bit. He said, there'll be no fornificators. He called them fornificators. There'll be no fornificators, no idolatrous persons, no Ephraimites, and he starts down this list. And I thought to myself, as I'm sitting back there in the church, I thought, Ephraimite. What is? I said, I thought that would really odd that God would put a whole tribe of people in the middle of this list of stuff you're not supposed to do, Ephraimites. So I turned over to the text, and it was not Ephraimite, and it was effeminate. And when I saw it was effeminate, I looked at my aunt, and she caught my eye. And you know how it is when you see somebody, you can't look back again or it's over. She started to laugh. I started to laugh. I caught her eye again, and I disrupted the service. I got to laughing so bad that I fell out of my seat. My dad said, son, what is wrong with you? I said, Pastor, I just got one question. He said, what is that? I said, what is an Ephraimite? He said, it's a whole tribe of homosexuals. And he went on. Touch your neighbor, tell him Caesar got his degree back in August anyway. Well, that loosened us up a little bit. But there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, note this, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Touch your neighbor, tell him the days are accomplished when you should be delivered. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about delivering a baby, although it looks like I'm still pregnant. I tell people, I've got a lot of friends who are bishops. I'm an archbishop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them of the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen it. It was told of them. I'm going to stop there. I'll probably come back maybe if I got time, pick another verse in this same text. What really began to strike my attention is, as I took a look at this particular piece of scripture, some things started to really grab me that are very, I believe, relevant to where we're at. And the first thing that got my attention was, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, we could probably talk about that physically and talk about taxing time, because it's pretty evident that all the world is being taxed. But beyond just the financial side of it, how many know you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out we are in a time season when all the world is having, maybe you're being taxed in your finances, you're being taxed in your body, you're being taxed in your family, it's taxing time. Touch somebody, say, it's taxing time. And you know, what happens is a lot of times we are very problem oriented, but I'm one of these guys that I really don't want to focus on how big the giants are. I want to focus on how big our God is. I don't want to talk about, the walled cities. I want to talk about, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I think somewhere we need to get answer oriented. And while everybody is, I don't want to be political about it, because we have some people trying to get the elephant in the White House and other people trying to get the donkey in the White House. I just want to get the lamb in there. And I just believe that neither the donkey nor the elephant is our answer this morning. It's the Lamb of God. And one of the things that really began to catch my attention as I read this scripture was, during taxing time, what taxing time will do. And let me say to you that taxing time doesn't always originate from God. How many know there are things that happen that are the result of what people do? Hallelujah. Let me say it like this. I do not, and you may agree or disagree, that's your human prerogative, but I really don't believe that God is about to destroy America. You may believe that. If you do, that's your human prerogative. I don't think God is interested in destroying America. I believe that Americans are doing a good job on their own. They don't need God's help. Americans are destroying America. It's not God. The hurricane that we just got, and you know what's amazing is, usually you all get the hurricanes. We got it this time. We got the hurricane right behind that. We get a blizzard. So I don't know who God's mad at up here. The last time he was mad at some folks down here in Louisiana, the last I heard, they were all. Hallelujah. That always amazes me. They said, this is an act of God. No, it's not an act of God. An act of God is what you just saw a while ago, when somebody goes to Haiti and begins to help people, begins to help. That's an act of God. When people reach out to their communities and touch folk that are homeless and that don't have anything to be, that's an act of God. When we reach out to preachers and missionaries and people around the world who are being persecuted, that's an act of God. I believe all of these other things are a result of the fall of Adam. And I believe what happens is, somewhere when the groan of creation gets strong enough, somebody will listen. Because Romans 8 says that the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting on God's sons, one translation says, to come into their own. It's waiting on God's people to realize who they are and to come into a realization that we are not here just to endure or to make it through. We are here to change
the circumstances and to ease the suffering of the human condition. I cannot help but think about the disciples, even when they came into the city, and Jesus had set his face as though he would go to Jerusalem. And because they did not receive him, Peter, James, John, some of the apostles, they looked at Jesus and they said, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did?" And they used a biblical precedence. They said, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did and destroy this city?" And Jesus turns around and does something I think is incredible. He rebukes them and says to them, "You don't know what spirit you are of, because the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." In other words, he's trying to show them, if you're using Elijah as an old covenant precedence, what you're showing is that you're operating under an old covenant idea, when in the new covenant, a greater than Elijah was on the scene. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And his intention was not to destroy men's lives. It was to save them. He was trying to shift their mindset from a God who's trying to destroy everybody, from an old covenant mindset to a new covenant mindset, where he says the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. Thank you for getting so excited about that. But I believe God is interested in saving some folks. I believe he's interested in something occurring that will change the course of human history. So when I begin to see the circumstances and the settings of this season, that it was taxing time, and that there was great taxing and great pressure. It was a season of a corrupted priesthood. It was a season of a corrupted government. But long before there was ever a corrupted priesthood or a corrupted Roman oppressive government on the scene, there was a woman by the name of Mary who'd been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've been in a season where God has overshadowed the church by the Holy Ghost. And then there's a fresh, I know there's a fresh breath of God being released all over this planet. And what's happening is there's an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit that's coming, that's fresh and it's new. And you know what's amazing? It was unprecedented. It was, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes to Mary, he says to her, "Hail thou that art highly favored." How many of sometimes the first time you hear the message of favor and grace, it looks like everything but favor and grace came. I mean, a grace works even when it doesn't look good. Paul says, "I had a messenger of Satan that buffeted me, and I prayed and said, 'God, take it from me.' And he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" So grace even works whenever it doesn't look like things are going good. When I walked through the things with my dad, even through the, I was telling Pastor Terry back in the office, when we walked through the things of the tragic accident with my dad, only thing I can tell you is the first time I've ever lost anybody that close to me. But I got to tell you, the grace of God and the Holy Spirit was so powerful that I can tell you it really works. And I can say with all confidence, his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. So I want to bring you a salutation from heaven this morning. And I want to tell you, hail thou that art highly favored. This is the season of favor.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Man, I feel the preacher on me already this morning. For, you know what's amazing is that ought to make us shout. It ought to make us want to run the aisles. But we'd rather have, sometimes I believe the church would rather have bad news. It's kind of like driving by an accident. You got to look at the bloody mess. And it's like people, you preach good news and they look at you like, "What rock did you just crawl out from underneath of?" But I want to preach good news. It's amazing to me, the first public message Jesus preaches. He stands up, he says, "Go get the book of Isaiah." Now you got to realize Isaiah prophesied about this dude 700 years before this. Isaiah got up one morning, come on. He probably was like me. He probably got up that morning and went through the drive-thru at McDonald's to get his biscuit and cup of coffee. About halfway through the drive-thru, the Holy Ghost hit him, got that jerk on it. You know, feel like something hits you right here in the bottom, in the middle, don't move. And the more you fight it, the worse it gets on you. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. It's kind of amazing. Jerking's coming back in style, but we were jerking when it wasn't cool. People, my mama had a PhD, what's that, a Pentecostal hairdo. And when the Holy Ghost could hit her, she'd get that jerk and the bobby pins would fly out. Slap the wall, sound like a shotgun going off, you know, from the bobby pins slapping the wall.
get a jerk on them. But the Holy Ghost said to Isaiah, I got to keep moving here. Holy Ghost said to him, when you preach this morning, tell him a virgin's going to have a baby. Now, how many know when you're up under the anointing, you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. But you get back to the hotel and you think, my God, why did I say all that? And your wife says, yeah, why did you? But see, like you get under the anointing and you know, and so I could see him get up. He's all revved up from what I could see Miss Isaiah get in the car. And he said, babe, you ain't going to believe what the Holy Ghost told me this morning. She said, what'd he tell you, babe? He said, to tell the people a virgin's going to have a baby. His name going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. A virgin going to have a baby. She said, could you take the offering before you preach that? So he prophesies. A virgin's going to have a baby. His name will be called the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Everybody shouting hallelujah. Except next week, no virgin, no baby. Month later, still nothing. A year later, you're the cult of the church down the street, preaching that crazy stuff. A virgin gonna have a baby. 2 years later, come on, they've replaced you as pastor and voted in a new one. 7 years later, no virgin, no baby. Now you're a false prophet. Seven, he dies and goes into the balconies of glory, never having seen the prophetic word he gave come to pass. 700 years later, he's standing in the balconies of glory. And Jesus walks into the temple and said, go get me the book of Isaiah. I could see him high-five Ezekiel, say, I wrote that 700 years ago, and it came to pass in those days. He gonna preach from my notes this morning. Somebody come on with me. Somewhere God will vindicate you. And he rears back, he takes the book of Isaiah, and he starts to preach like this in a climate full of corrupt government, oppression from the Romans, corruption in the church world. And Jesus stands up and preaches, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. Come on, somebody. He has sent me to open the eyes of the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He's not talking to drug dealers on the street. He's talking to people who've been to church their whole life because they've never heard the good news. They've heard the bad news behind the bad news. I think it's a tragedy when we can turn on the news and get the bad news. And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't listen to the news, but I am telling you that when you turn on Christian television behind that, you shouldn't get the bad news behind the bad news or come to church and say, you think that's bad? Wait till you hear the bad. I came to tell you there's some good news. Even in taxing time, Jesus stood up and said, I'm still anointed to preach the gospel. Because if we ever preach the gospel is called the good news. Touch somebody, say, what part of good news don't you understand? It's good news. But we get the bad news behind the bad news. And Jesus stands up in that climate and he says to them, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Because who's more disappointed than people who sat under religion that didn't produce anything for them? Who's more bruised than people who walk through a church door, walk down a church aisle and trade one set of stress and problems for another one? And every time they walk in, they get a nosebleed or beat up or beat over the head with something, come on, of religion. They were bruised. They were broken. They were, come on, brokenhearted and disappointed. And Jesus rears back and said, he sent me to declare the year of the favor of our God. And he closed the book. Now, what you may not know is Jesus broke what Bible college calls hermeneutical rules. Because he did not quote the whole scripture. The latter part of that scripture says, and to declare the year of the days of the vengeance of our God. But he did not preach that. He has sent me to declare the year of the favor of our God. Because he stood up in that point and said, I'm talking to somebody that's going to hear me. Hallelujah. I came to still tell you favor is on God's people. I came to tell you that there's still some believers alive and well
on planet Earth. I came to tell you, it might be taxing time, and it might be taxing time in our government, and there may be pollution in the government, there may be, come on, corruption in the church, but there's still a people on planet Earth that God has a word for, that are still the answer of the salt and the light that we are to be in the planet to change the things I believe that need to be changed. Hallelujah. 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 The thing I begin to realize is that taxing time was not necessarily God originating it. But how many, no matter what goes on, God can move and work in the situations. That's what's so good about God. I don't care where it's at, God can do it so good you'll think it was His idea. How many ever been through something? And you came out so good through it that you thought, man, this was God's idea the whole time. The taxing time was because of what was going on in the ministry, what was going on in the government, what was going on under Caesar. But the thing that really caught my attention was, what happened was, during the time of taxing, it caused every man to come into the house of his lineage, or the house. They went to Bethlehem because they were the household and lineage of David. And the Lord said to me, we are in a season when your real identity is going to begin to show up. Because during taxing time, who your daddy is going to show up.
Amen, amen.
You know, hallelujah, I believe we're in a season when God is really bringing us into a place again where we're not just having a relationship with a book. I thank God for the Word of God. And I appreciate and I value, because we've already talked about how value it is all, but I'm telling you, I'm not having a relationship with a book or a church. I'm having relationship with a person. And I really believe God is calling people in this hour to a relationship. Because during taxing time, what's going to happen is that the moment you get under pressure, you will either run from the Bethlehem, what's Bethlehem? The house of bread. You're either going to run from the house of God. What amazes me, Pastor Terry, is that people, when they get in crises, the first thing they cut out is church. The place they could get an answer. They get up under pressure. Man, that's exactly where I want to be, because I'm going to tell you, if there's going to be any answers anywhere, it's going to come from the church. And then what happens is that under the pressure of taxing time, they came to the house of David because they were the house and lineage of David. And somewhere during taxing time, what happened is they began to realize, you know what? I've got royal blood pumping in my veins. I'm of the household and the lineage of David. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. How many know you've got the same blood flowing in your veins? How many know you've got, come on, you've got the blood of a king pumps through your veins. Hallelujah. You know what? I know a lot of folk upset about election, but I'm going to tell you, even before it came down, I put on my Facebook, Jesus will still be king day after tomorrow, because see, Psalm 2 said, God said, yet have I set my king. You vote yours in, you vote him out, you do whatever you want to, but I set my king on my holy hill. Declare the decree, you're my son today, have I begotten thee. Jesus is still Lord. He was Lord yesterday. He's still going to be Lord, and the more we raise him up and declare he is king, the more the kingdom of God begins to invade every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So even during taxing time, they were driven into a place where they had to come into a revelation of their identity. It is in the times, I believe, of pressure that God really begins to, at least in my life, I begin to emerge and say, you know what, I've been through some stuff. I've been around a little while. And I've seen God show up too many times, Pastor Kenny, that he's never failed me before. He'll never fail me again. Come on, somebody. And I want you to know that God is still alive, and you know, the reality of it is that the moment you know who you are and that you've got royal blood pumping in your veins, there's a scripture in the book of Proverbs that says where the word of a king is, there is power. And how many know he is the king of kings? So if he's the king of, then there must be some kings. If he's the Lord of, there must be some lords. So how many know he is the king of kings? And if you've got royal blood pumping in your veins, this room is full of kings and priests. And where the word of a king is, there is power. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just preach and declare doom and despair. I want to open my mouth with kingdom declaration and decree as a king. Come on, somebody. I want to speak over my family. I want to speak over my government. I want to speak, come on, not over them, but to them when I get the opportunities. I believe they are open to us speaking to them. One of the things that the congressman said to me, having read my book, he said, let me tell you something. He said, most of the preachers that we meet are telling us the sky is falling. But here's a country boy from West Virginia who lives in a town with three stoplights. Marsha's been here. Our only chain restaurant is McDonald's, Dairy Queen, and Subway. I have my own table at the truck stop. Pastor Terry asked me a while ago, where do you want to eat after a while? It's unusual for me to have choices if I'm in town. It's either truck stop or the park. But to write a book on Revelation that says there may be an alternative to some of this doom and despair. What if Jesus really does win? I mean, we say that. We say, I read the last book of the Bible, and we win. But see, we don't preach a winning Jesus from that book, most of us. I feel like sometime a fish swimming upstream. But to get a book like this in the hands of a president, two sitting terms, who would read it twice and think, what if he sat there during some of the times when we were in war with a finger on the red button, and he might have read a book that a country boy wrote and said, they don't have to end this way. What if? I don't know that's the case. But I'm just trying to say, what if? See, what I'm trying to tell you is we must become answer-driven and not problem-focused. We must begin, come on, instead of focusing on the earth like Isaiah did and crying, whoa, whoa, we must look into the heavens and say, he's holy. He's holy. We must cross into a promised land, and instead of saying the walls are too thick, the devil is too big and the giants are way out of hand, we got to lean back our chest and say, yeah, but our God is a whole lot bigger. And what they didn't know was that the enemy already heard about them. He knew more about their identity than they knew about themselves. But they'd sat under the wrong leadership that was always the majority saying, the walls are thick and the giants are big. But Joshua and Caleb came back and said, you're not going to believe the size of the grapes over there. It takes two of us to carry it. The grapes are the size of pumpkins. People will look at you like you are crazy. But see, I'm real God-centered and not real man-centered. What I'm trying to tell you is I believe that during taxing time that there's something about to be birthed that's going to change. I believe that when the Holy Ghost overshadows the church like he has been, that there's a fresh stir. Not a traditional same old, but a real stir, especially among young people all over the world. God is touching them. And they're not your father's Oldsmobile type. Hallelujah. See, I believe that one of the reasons the Republicans didn't win was because we're too antiquated in our thinking, not progressive. And you got the other side that's the, you know, the internet, iPod, iPad, going to use everything they can. And see, because we don't want to change, we'd rather fight than switch. We've got 200-year-old theologies. And the moment somebody says something fresh and new in our services, we're all upset and tore up. But I want to ask you, like Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? I mean, you know what? I go to places and the people, their kids ain't coming to church. They don't even want to be there. The only reason they're there is because they want to keep the fire insurance policy current. I'm going to make my fire insurance payment this morning, and I'm not coming back after this. I'm just going to pay the bill, and give me the basic rules and get me out of here. I want to tell you, I believe it's so much bigger than that. But I do believe God is stirring, and I believe things are about to change. But just like Mary, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and he says to her, you're about to conceive, not from human hands, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. She reared back and with the only sane thing she could say, she said, how can this thing be? seeing I do not know a man. Now, I can tell you as I look at it from the natural instead of the heavens, when I look at government, look at our lives, look at the things that we're involved in, even on a personal level. My response to God is, how can this thing be? Seeing I do not know a man. I can tell you, let me just tell you my story. You know, we literally are touching. I have a staff of three. I have three people on staff. And how in the world we are touching the world with a staff of three. I don't pastor. I go to a local church because I believe you ought to be part of a local church. Hallelujah. If you watch our program, we hardly say anything about finances. We went on in a bad economy. This is our third year. We're getting ready to sign a contract for our fourth year. We've never run out of money. It is huge amounts. I have to say, God, how can this thing be? How can this thing be? Has anybody in this room ever faced something with your health, your relationships, your marriage, come on, your business, your finances? And that would be your question. How can this thing be? Because you know the promise of God. Am I talking to anybody in the room? And the answer is so simple. The Holy Ghost. Did we forget about the Holy Ghost? See, when I look at the very, and I don't have my head in the sand, we have very real problems going on all over the world. But what amazes me is when we hit a glitch in America, we think this is the big one, Myrtle. Except we don't realize there's catastrophe somewhere in the world all the time, and somehow we think we're special because when it hits us, this is it. Hallelujah. I said to Pastor Terry, I don't know sometimes if I'd even preach in the U.S. if I had the support to preach other ways. Hallelujah. Dr. T.L. Osborne told me one time, he said, I just come to America to support my missions habit. Hallelujah. And I don't mean that in a downgrading way, but see, we got it so good. A bad day in America is a good day other places. Hallelujah. Because we can stand here and worship God in freedom. We have Bibles laying everywhere and iPads and, come on, electronic devices. I don't even have to get up and say if you have your Bible with you. I can say if you have your device with you. Hallelujah. Air-conditioned automobiles and, hallelujah. When I preach someplace else and see them walk for 7-8 hours, swim rivers and sit on benches, it's hard not to come back to America and want to whoop them. But it's all what's relevant to us. It's all what we're used to. But can I tell you what happens is I believe we are living in a climate right now when the Holy Ghost is overshadowed one more time. And we're going to have to rear back like Mary did and say, how's it going to be? And the Lord said, here's the answer, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is more than a hookamashah. It's more than a jerk and a talk in tongues. It's the power of God to move in our lives and over this planet. How can it be? The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and the power of the highest will come upon you. And she rears back and says the only sane thing you could say. Be it unto me according to your word. God, I want to give birth to something that will change the course of human history. I believe the Holy Ghost has overshadowed us just for that purpose. Hallelujah. We've been practicing safe church up to this point. But I believe somebody is going to wake up one morning and realize I'm great with child. I'm pregnant with something. I've got mood swings. I've got strange cravings. That's why my ministry is really booming right now. Because I'm a dill pickle and ice cream kind of guy. Not your usual stuff together. Hallelujah. I have diagnosed the problem. Hallelujah. You're pregnant as you can be. Hallelujah. You're pregnant by the Holy Ghost. You tried to hide it. Joseph thought about putting you away privately because it ain't his baby. I'm all over the place this morning. Hallelujah. How many know there's a lot of folk don't know what's going on, so we're thinking, oh God, it's not our baby. I ought to put her away private. There's a lot of preachers like that today. I got to bail out. this is getting out of hand, and God shows up and says, don't be afraid to embrace the holy thing. But what I begin to see, and I need to wrap this up because I'm about out of time. What I begin to see was, the Bible said that when all of a sudden, during this taxing time, during this time of great pressure, during this time of great Roman oppression, during this time of corruption in the priesthood, all of a sudden, Mary gives birth to this baby Jesus. I love this. And the Bible says she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and she laid him in a manger. All of a sudden, something hit me. She laid him in a manger. Why a manger? Because that's a feed trough. See, what's that mean? What God is saying is start feeding the people a steady diet of Jesus plus nothing. Start feeding them a steady diet on what's in lamb. Hallelujah. I know I'm all over the place this morning. You have to come back and hear me this week. But I'm going to tell you this. The Lord said to me years ago, he said, you ate your way into this problem. You can eat your way out of it. I said, if you can eat your way out of it, I'm in for this. I was born for this. I got an anointing for this. He said, it started with an eating disorder in Eden's misty garden. When I told you, don't eat this, eat that. But how many know we ate that and didn't eat this? And so several hundred years of human history passes, and the more you ate that, the more bondage you get in, until now you're a slave in Egypt. Now you've got whips and chains and bondage and oppression everywhere. See, there's so many parallels here. Moses said, tell the people, take a lamb inside the house and eat it in the night with roast with fire, because you ate your way into this problem. You can eat your way out of it. Because if you eat some lamb, touch your neighbor and say, eat more lamb. Hallelujah. Not more donkey. Come on, not more elephant. Eat more lamb. Hallelujah. And guess what happened? In the middle of the night, they got blood on the doorpost, started eating lamb. In the middle of the night, they got enough lamb in their belly. Hallelujah. And in 400 years of bondage, they get enough lamb in their belly. One of them looked over to the other and said, I can't live in this bondage no more. I got something inside of me won't let me live here no more. Man, I feel like preaching up in here. Hallelujah. I believe you got enough lamb in your belly. I don't care what you're in bondage to. I don't care if you're in bondage to substance abuse. You're in bondage to drugs. You're in bondage to religion. You're in bondage to whatever. You get enough lamb in your belly. You get up out of your bondage and say, I can't live like this any longer. I was born for something greater than this. And it is amazing to me that at that same moment that there were shepherds, pastors. Shepherds, pastors, watching their flocks by night. They don't have a revelation of the day. They're in a night season. They don't know what's going on. And they don't want heaven saying they're preaching gloom, despair, doom and gloom. Taxing time is here. How bad it is. Look out. And all of a sudden, hallelujah, these shepherds watching their flocks by night hear heaven talk. Here's what heaven had to say. Glory to God. In the highest. Watch this. This is what heaven had to say. And on earth. Peace, goodwill to men. This is my heart, God said. You're watching your flock by night, but let me tell you what heaven's saying. Peace. And goodwill. My heart towards humanity is one of peace and goodwill towards men. He's saying to shepherds, preach that. Bring the people to the trough. Feed them on some lamb. Hallelujah. And if you go back to preaching Jesus, if you go back to feeding them on lamb, what will happen is everything will begin to change. And suddenly, hallelujah, and suddenly there was with the heavenly host, not just one preacher, not just the minority, but all of a sudden there was a whole host. And they started to come into harmony. It started with one voice, one messenger. But before it was over, there was a host of heavenly hosts saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Something was birthed 2,000 years ago in the city of David. That is the answer then. It's the answer now. It will always be the answer until somebody turns to it. Yeah.
Let me circle and land.
They walked into the temple. And Simeon, the Bible said there was an old shuffling prophet by the name of Simeon. His name means hearing. There's a lot of people in church, but there was some that hear. And the Bible said, and he coming by the Spirit into the temple. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel, had a promise that he wouldn't taste death till he'd seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Ghost woke him up and said, you better get up to the temple today because this is not church as usual. Man, I feel this morning. Touch your neighbor. Tell him it's not church as usual. You better start getting here in the house of God because it's not church as usual. Something's about to show up that's unprecedented. Come on with me. Hallelujah. And the Bible, see, he didn't get a text. He didn't get a fax. He didn't get an email. He didn't get a tweet. He didn't get a Facebook message. The Holy Ghost said, you better get up there. Come on, somebody. Because God is about to do something. And before they can lay 8 pounds of God in the flesh in the hands of a corrupted priesthood, Simeon grabs that baby and embraces it. Anybody in this room feel like you need to embrace him this morning? And he lifts him up and begins to prophesy. This is for the rise and fall of many that are in Israel. And the Bible said, in coming in that instant, Anna. All of a sudden, I begin to hear something. Anna's name means grace. Grace in an instant. What are you saying, Brother House? I'm telling you, it's taxing time. All the world's being taxed. But I'm telling you, there's some good news in the middle of it. Grace in an instant is showing up. You may think I'm crazy. I am not out of my mind. I might be out of yours. But I'm not out of mine. There is an unprecedented shift globally. And all of a sudden, grace and the message of grace is coming to the forefront. Now, I promise you, when anything begins to break, you got folk to grab pieces of it, to make it look bad. You know, the devil fights anything that can help people. And I'm not devil conscience. But I can tell you that I believe there is a resurgence of grace. And the reason it is because of the season we're living in. You say it's bad out there. But I say, where sin abounds, grace will superabound. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet over this place. Hallelujah. Grace shows up in an instant. Hallelujah. Because it is the time, I believe, to favor us. I believe that it is the season. It is high time that as a church, we begin to arise and shine, even in the midst of darkness, for the light has come. It's not coming, it is come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And Gentiles will come, and kings, to the brightness of thy rising. Hallelujah. I believe our season is here. I know that sounds like it is totally. We ought to be licking our wounds. But I don't have any wounds to lick. I have since signed one of those books to President Obama. Now, he was not in the room. President Bush was. But he was not in the room. I don't know if he ever read his. I hope it gets in his hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I do know, whatever the condition is, we are called to pray, to intercede. Hallelujah. Because we're the, I believe, answers are in this room this morning. Hallelujah. What am I going to do? I'm going to eat more lamb. I'm going to bring the shepherds to the trough and say the reason he was put in a manger is because this is what we need to feed on.
He is the Savior. And He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And I would challenge you with the thought that Jesus gave to His disciples when they were ready to call down fire from heaven. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. I believe I see Jesus in that way. He didn't come to destroy. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands all over this room. Father, I bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you that even in taxing time, I can come to the house of Bethlehem. I can come to the house of bread. I can feed on the bread that came down from heaven. I can feed on the lamb that rebuked a death angel. I can feed on a lamb that brought Egyptians out of Egypt into a promised land with not a feeble one among them. God, if you could do it, and their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, there was not a sick or feeble one among them, if you could do that under the old covenant with a figurative lamb, how much more should we be able to feed on the true lamb? Hallelujah. And receive from Him. I bless you in Jesus' name. You've been gracious this morning. God bless you. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Come on, give him a good clap offering. The deacons, you guys get the little bags. Can y'all get the bags right quick? Can we get those real quick? Hey, get your offering ready. Would you do this real quick? We're going to bless him back. How many were blessed today? Were you blessed? I want you to get, you can make your check either out to Dr. Lynn Hiles or to Victory Harvest Church. Every penny goes, I'm sorry. Write it all to Victory. Every penny and more, we add to it. Whatever you give, we add to it. So we don't take any expenses out, nothing. Every penny you give will go straight to Dr. Lynn and his ministry around the world. Go ahead and do that. Would you do it right now? Just go ahead and get your offering ready. Take it out. Get a checkbook if you need to write a check, or if you're doing cash, go ahead and do that. And do we have offering bags? Do we have those available? Did we get them? Somebody wave at me. We don't have them. We got a few of them. Go ahead and get your offering ready, if you would. What time is it tonight? I forgot. 6 o'clock tonight. What time tomorrow and what time Tuesday night? 7. Go ahead and get your offering out. Would you do that? I don't see my guys. Do you see them anywhere? Okay, let's do this. Let's go over in the missions box. If you would do, make sure you identify it on your thing. On each side of the wall is a missions box. And go ahead and put the offering in there. Make sure you identify it for Dr. Lynn Hiles. We'll know it's there. Can you do that? Everybody say amen one more time. Would you go ahead and do that right now before you leave, before you do anything else? Go do your offering real quick. Give the Lord one more good clap offering. Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. We'll see you at 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget, we've got resources on the back table. Go ahead and do your offering real fast, if you would.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I loved, but no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song?
Strong.